1 Samuel chapter 15. And it's a record that's very familiar to, I'm sure, to most of you. But one of the themes that run throughout Scripture is this issue of obedience and doing what God asks you to do and being what God doing what God tells you to do. And one of the things about obedience is that unless you're doing Romans 12:2, which says renew your mind, you're going to be hard-headed. Even though the spirit on the inside wants you to do what God wants you to do, unless you have renewed your mind to do, to follow God's guidance, you're going to be hard-headed and you're going to disobey. And in the Bible, disobedience is rebellion because you're not doing what God asked you to do. I know that there have been times in my life when I know that God is telling me to do something. And then, you know, I kind of drag my feet. Now, I eventually do it, but when God asks you to do something, when God tells you to do something, he don't want you to drag your feet. He wants immediate obedience, because then he can bless you. And that's what he wants to do above everything else. He wants to bless you. And we're going to see that this morning, how an individual just didn't get it. God had given him specific instructions on what he wanted him to do, but he just didn't get it. And so we're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, King Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Samuel says, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. That word hearken means not only do I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you, I want you to follow through and do it. Hearken. Hear what I'm about to tell you, follow through and do it. Okay? Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Let's pause right here and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. So Samuel is telling Saul that God is reminding him of what Amalek did when they came up out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, look at verse 17. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God has given thee rest, when the Lord thy God has given thee rest, from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, that thou shalt not forget it. Okay? So in here Moses is telling the children of Israel that when you come into the land that the Lord thy God has given you for an inheritance and you have rest all about, in other words, you're not fighting an enemy, you have a little peace, I want you to take care of the Amalekites because of what they did to my people when they came out of Egypt. And not only did they attack my people when they came out of Egypt, they had no respect, no regard for me. And that made me unhappy. That made me unhappy. Okay? Now look at Exodus 17. In Exodus 17, it's a record that pastor shared a while back about Moses fighting the Amalekites and how Aaron and Hur, they held up Moses' arms, hands, so as Moses' arms were held up, Israel won, and when his arms dropped down, the Amalekites won. Look in verse 14. This is after Joshua has defeated the Amalekites in this particular instance. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearsed it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means Lord my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. So we see that God is now getting ready to do something that he had talked about some 500 years before. He's now, because Israel now has a king, Israel's now at rest, and now he wants Saul to do what he had talked about 500 years before. Now in verse 3, and this is the directions that Samuel is giving to Saul. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Okay? God says that I want you to utterly destroy Amalek. Okay? Utterly destroy this people. And don't have any mercy on any of them. I want all the men to die. I want all the women to die. I want all the children to die. I want all the cattle to die. Have no mercy, because I want you to utterly destroy them. In the Old Testament, this is what is called a ban, a B-A-N, where these people, this destruction has been set aside by God because he wants all of this done. Okay? So the instruction is, I don't want anything left over. No one is to survive. Okay? No one is to survive. Now keep that in mind as we read on. And in verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Now let me ask you something. Was Saul within the framework of doing what God asked him to do by telling the Kenites to leave? Yes, yes. Because God wanted the Amalekites destroyed, not the Kenites. Okay? Now the Kenites were part of Midian. And I don't know if you remember that Moses' father-in-law was a Midianite. And remember how when they came up out of Egypt and Moses was trying to judge all the people, and his father-in-law said, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. You need to let some other people do some of the judging with you. And so that's when he suggested that Moses set up so many men, over thousands and over hundreds and over tens. Okay? And that all the major things would be brought to Moses. And that's what Moses did. And that's what he's talking about here in terms of showing mercy, okay, showing kindness to Egypt, to the children that came out of Egypt. And Saul smote the Amalekites in verse 7, from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, and that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But, in verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. Now, what was the commandment from Samuel? Spare no one. Destroy everything. Everything. That was what God told Saul to do. Okay? God told Saul to do. Now notice in verse 9 that Saul, he kept all of the best of all the lambs and everything that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed. Do you think that made God happy? Because remember, everything was set aside as a ban to be destroyed. Hold your finger here and go to Malachi chapter 1. And we're going to see how God responded to the priests in Malachi chapter 1 when they were giving him not the best of the sacrifices and the best of the offerings. And in Malachi chapter 1, and begin with verse 6. A son honoreth his father. Is everyone in Malachi chapter 1? Okay. A son, verse 6, honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You see the message? God is not happy. And he's saying, your governor would not be happy with this sacrifice. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that will shut the door for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. What he's saying here in verse 10 is, I wish that someone would close the door so you could not get into the temple, and so you could not offer sacrifices to me because they are contemptible. Okay? Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun even until the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit therein, even his meat, is contemptible. Why was the fruit polluted and the meat contemptible? Because they were offering sick sacrifices. They were offering sick sacrifices. Exactly what Saul did back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He said, I'm going to hold on to everything that's healthy, everything that's good, but God, you can have the sick. You can have, God, you can have what I don't want. You can have what I don't want. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 10. Now notice, after it says, but Saul saved everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel. I read this and I think about God is just watching all of this unfold. He's watching all of this unfold, and he's saying, now I know what I told him to do, but he's not doing this. He's not doing this. So he gets on the spiritual phone and he dials up Samuel. He dials up Samuel. In verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. That word repenteth, I didn't understand for a long, long time, because as I read that record, I got to thinking about, now God knew that Saul was not going to be faithful to his word. God knew that. So if God knew that Saul was not going to be faithful to his word, then why did he repent? Why was he sorry? Why was he sorry? And part of the reason I was thinking about that, it was because if God knew that Saul wasn't going to do that, then he really shouldn't have been sorry, because he knew it was going to happen. But remember, God gives us freedom of will. He knows what he wants to see happen, but then we have a role to play in that also. And what I thought about was, have any of you ever seen the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer? Okay. Maybe I'm the only one who's ever seen that movie. It's about a child prodigy who plays chess. And he was so good at it, he could anticipate any move any other person ever made, and he was ready to counteract it. Okay? So as I thought about how God was sorry, God was genuinely sorry that he had made Saul king, because he knew the possibilities for Saul. He knew that Saul did not have to make the choice that he made, but he made it anyway. And so that word repentance is almost like God is in heaven. He's taking a deep breath and he's saying, I wish he had made a different decision. Because, see, now God has to make another decision because of what Saul did. Because if Saul had obeyed God, the outcome would have been totally different. But because he didn't, then there was a different outcome. The same is true for us today. God knows what he wants for us. He knows how he wants to bless us. He knows how if we would do certain things, then we would really see the fruit of being his children. But then we have a role to play also. Because if we don't do what God asks us to do, if we don't follow through, then we're going to miss it. God hasn't changed. God hasn't done anything different. We are the variable. And that's why it's so important that we line our thinking up with the Word of God. Because when we line our thinking up with God's Word, then we will be in His will. Okay? So we see then here in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that God is sorry that he made Saul king because, and look what the verse says, because Saul turned back from following me. Hold your finger here and look in 1 Samuel chapter 10. This was not the first time that Saul turned back from following God. Here in Samuel chapter 15, it's almost like God was giving him one more chance to prove himself. Okay? Look at verse 8. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. Samuel has met Saul. He's told Saul that you're going to be the king, that you're going to be anointed king, and that there are certain things that are going to happen. You're going to see a man with loaves of bread, and he's going to give you two of them. You're going to run across some prophets, and then the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you're going to prophesy with them. So all of these things came to pass. And then in verse 8, it says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass. Okay? And then, look at verse 8. I'm going to go back up one, because I read verse 9. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Okay? So Samuel's telling Saul, I want you to go to Gilgal, wait 7 days, and I'm going to come down. We're going to offer sacrifices. Turn to chapter 13. Saul has a pattern. And in verse 8 of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Who was supposed to offer the burnt offering? Samuel. But Saul took it upon himself to do it instead of Samuel. Okay? And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul says, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Now you see all these excuses Saul is making. You know, you didn't come when you said you were going to come. So first of all, he blames Samuel. You know, you didn't come when you were supposed to come. The next thing he does, he says, you know, the people are scattered from me. Okay. And then the third thing he talks about, and that the Philistines are gathered themselves. And then verse 12 is priceless. Therefore said I, Saul, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I have not made an offering unto the Lord. And you know what, Samuel? I forced myself. I mean, I wanted to wait on you, but it was all I could do not to do it. But, you know, there was something in me to say, I just got to do this. I forced myself. Therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, my God, thy God, which he commanded thee, for now the Lord would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul has just been told, your kingdom will not continue. In other words, after you die, you will not have an heir set on the throne. Okay? So, Saul already knows when we get to chapter 15 that he's not going to have anyone else in his family sit on the throne of Israel. Okay? He already knows this. So, that's the first time that he turned his back on God and did what he wanted to do. Okay? Back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. If I remember correctly, he spared the king. He spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, did he not? So what is he doing? He's denying any guilt. I hadn't done anything wrong. I'd done what the Lord asked me to do. Okay? If any of you ever think that God does not have a sense of humor, read verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Wait a minute, Saul, what is this I hear? I hear these sheep and these oxen. I'm not supposed to be hearing these things, okay? I'm not supposed to be hearing these things. Verse 15. And Saul said, they have bought them from the Amalekites. Who have bought them? What is he doing? Now he's blaming the people. Okay? They have bought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So Saul belittles the error, okay? And then he does it. He says, we did it for a good reason. But I want you to notice something in verse 15 that really jumped out at me. Notice in the last part of the verse, he says, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. He doesn't say the Lord my God. He says the Lord your God. Okay, the Lord your God. Saul knows he's on the outs. Then look at verse 16. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay. Samuel said unto Saul, stay. That word stay means to cease or desist. Okay? And this is the image that it communicates to me. So Saul is doing all these, he's giving all these excuses as to why he didn't do what God wanted him to do. And so Samuel, he's standing there listening, and then he says, I've had enough. Shut up. I've had enough. You know, the hand goes up. I've had enough. I want you to listen to what God says. So Saul is making all these excuses, and Samuel just said, I've had enough. I've had enough. Don't want to hear anything more. I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. Saul said, say on. Like he really had a choice. He said, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? You all remember when Saul was anointed king over Israel, Samuel talked to him and said, you know, you are the hope of Israel. Because, you know, they wanted a king. That's what. And so Samuel said, you are the hope of Israel. And Saul said, but wait a minute.
I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe of Israel. My father's house is the smallest of the tribe of Benjamin. And so you are saying I'm the hope of Israel? Okay. So Saul was not really comfortable with the idea. And to make it worse, when they had the meeting of all the leadership of Israel to anoint him king, they couldn't find him. The Word of God says they had to go find him because he was hiding among the stuff. The Word of God says stuff. And then when they found Saul and he stood up, he was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel. So Samuel is reminding him of this. And in verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? What was the issue for God? Obedience. That was the issue for God. Wherefore then did you not obey? And that word obey is the same Hebrew word as the word hearken in verse 1. Same word. You did not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. That word, when he says didst fly upon the spoil, that means that it was an insult. It was an insult to God that he took the best of the sheep and the oxen and set them aside because that was good stuff. He would get some benefit out of that. And that was an insult to God. So Samuel says, all what you did was evil in the sight of the Lord. It was evil. All the excuses you've made so far, Saul, it was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I can just see Samuel said, hello, did you just hear what I just said? You just did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said, yeah, but I obeyed him. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have bought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. No, Saul, that's not what God asked you to do, or what God told you to do. But the people took of the spoil. You know, I did the best I could, but the people did it. And I couldn't stop them. Yeah, I'm king. I understand that. But the people did it. It wasn't me. The people did it. The people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto, what does he say again? The Lord thy God. The Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, in verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now, there was a time when I read that and was saying, no, God wants you to obey. Sacrifice is not important. But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, yes, there are going to be offerings and sacrifice. But you know, the most important thing to me, Saul, is that you obey my voice. You obey my voice. That's the most important thing to me. That's the most important thing to me. So how does that relate to us today? We can go to church. We not go to church. But the word of the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of together. We can pray in tongues or we can not pray in tongues. Paul says, I would that ye all prayed in tongues. And we know that's not Paul talking, just Paul talking, but that's also a commandment from the Lord. Okay, Jesus said, I want you to abide in me, and when you abide in me, then you will abide with the Father. Okay, that's a commandment. We can obey that or we cannot obey that. And if we don't, then we don't get the results. We don't get the fruit. Okay, we don't get the fruit. So Samuel is saying, sacrifice, offerings, yeah, God, they're important. That's important. But we're talking heart, Saul. We're talking heart here. And you have turned your heart. That's what we're talking about. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The interesting thing about verse 22 is the word obey and the word hearken are the same words. And so Samuel is really nailing Saul on that. You didn't do what I told you to do. Remember back in verse when I said, hearken. I want you to listen what I'm going to tell you, and then I want you to follow through and do it. And Samuel and Saul did not do that. Hold your finger here and look at Psalm chapter 40. I want to show you something in Psalm 40. This is David talking in Psalm 40. And look at verse 6. In verse 6, David says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire." You didn't desire that. "Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." And look at verse 8. "I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." That's what God wants, to do his will. His will. Look in Jeremiah chapter 7. And then we're going to go back to 1 Samuel 15. In Jeremiah chapter 7, look at verse 21. Jeremiah 7:21. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." What Jeremiah is saying, God is saying, I'm giving you the priorities here. I'm giving you the priorities. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice." That's priority. Obey my voice. "And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." So when we obey God's voice, it says that he will be our God, we shall be his people, and when we walk in the ways that he's commanded, it will be well with us. It will be well with us. Okay? Back to 1 Samuel 15. Verse 23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." You see the words "is as following rebellion" and "is as following stubbornness"? Scratch them out, because they change the meaning. God is saying that rebellion is just like witchcraft to him. Stubbornness, and it's just like iniquity and idolatry. That's what he's saying. When you disobey me, when you don't do what I ask you to do, you're in rebellion. It's just as bad as witchcraft, idolatry, and all those other things. It's just as bad. I don't see any difference. And then the last part of verse 23, it says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." The Lord rejected the word of the Lord. "He has also rejected thee from being king." That word "rejected" means to despise, to abhor, to refuse. So by his not doing what God asked him to do, God looked at that as rejection. Because it said back in verse 12, or was it verse 12, where it says that Saul had turned from following him. Verse 11, okay. It says he's turned back from following me. Okay. The word of the Lord is before Saul. Saul turns his back, goes in the opposite direction. That's how God saw Saul's obedience. That's how he sees it. And he sees it no differently when we disobey. He sees it no differently, because he has given us his word. And he sees it no differently. When we refuse to obey his word, we are turning our backs. We're missing the blessing. We're missing the blessing. And he sees it no differently. Verse 24. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned." Finally, he says it. I sinned. But wait, ladies and gentlemen, before we get too excited here, there's more to this verse. Don't get too excited just yet. He says, I have sinned, for I transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. It's always someone else's fault with Saul. It's always someone else's fault because he feared the people and obeyed their voice rather than obeying God's voice. He obeyed their voice rather than obey God's voice. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. Yeah, sure. We're going to pardon this one when God has rejected you, Saul. Pardon my sin and turn again with me. Turn again with me. Now Saul is in this direction already. So he's telling Samuel, who's in this direction, to turn with him in this direction. Am I the only one who said, jeez. You know, like I said, when I preface this, I said, you know, we're going to talk about a person who doesn't get it. Saul didn't get it. And Samuel said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. He tore it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. He has rent the kingdom this day. So in other words, not only then in 1 Samuel chapter 13 does Saul no longer have descendants who are going to be on the throne, okay, who would not be on the throne, he has now lost the kingdom. Because if you would notice from here on out, when Samuel goes to see Jesse, he anoints David king of Israel. So David is king of Israel while Saul is still reigning. Because, see, God rejected him, remember? So David is going to still be king of Israel while Saul is reigning, okay? Look at verse 29. And also the strength of Israel. I love that. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Okay, he is not a man. That word strength is glory. The glory of Israel is not a man that he should lie. Okay, Saul, you made your bed, you're going to sleep in it. You made your bed, you're going to sleep in it. You had an opportunity to make a different decision, Saul. And you would have had my full support, and I would have done everything I could in my power to bless you. But you made a different decision. So now you got to live with that one. You have to live with that one. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And he said this a third time, thy God. Saul is more concerned about what the people thought about him than what God thought. Okay? He's more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. So my question this morning is, who are you more concerned about? What God thinks or what people think? Okay? What God thinks or what people think? Because that will determine whether or not you obey God. Okay? So we see in this entire record of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and even in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul's main concern was, what did the people think? How are the people responding? Not my relationship with God, but what do the people think? Okay? Verse 30. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. There was a reason Samuel turned after Saul, and we're going to see it as we finish out this chapter. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. He came to him like, surely the bitterness of death is past, right? We're cool, right, Samuel? We're cool. I mean, you've already gotten on Saul. You've taken care of things, so we're cool, right? As my children would say, we're here, right? We're here. And Samuel says, we're not here. We're not here, okay? So Samuel tells Agag in verse 33, As thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of Gelup of Saul, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Samuel died without ever saying another word to Saul. Samuel died without ever saying another word to Saul. How do I know this? Look what the rest of the verse says. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Whenever you mourn for someone, the person is dead. Think about that. In Scripture, whenever someone mourns for someone, the person is dead. So Samuel considered Saul dead. He considered Saul dead. Okay? From this point to his death was 2 years later. So for 2 years, Samuel said nothing to Saul because Saul had rejected the word of the Lord. He had rejected the word of the Lord. I think there's a record in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 or chapter 4, one of those that says, what fellowship is light with darkness? I can't remember which one it is, but it's the same thing with us. Same thing with us. To obey is better than sacrifice. One of the things I've often thought about, and that if there was one thing that I could teach young moms and young dads, is that when you have children who are small, if you could get them to respond immediately to your voice, to do what you say immediately, you have just blessed them with a gift that's greater than anything. Because when they grow up and they start responding to God's voice, they will respond immediately. Immediately. Because that's the only thing that God wants. Yes, he wants our worship. He wants our adoration. He wants all that. But the first thing he wants us to do, he's our Father. He wants us to do what he tells us to do. And when we do what he tells us to do, we get the blessing.